SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Belmont Park, Belmont Stakes Week, Triple Crown Tri, Belmont Stakes Week, a very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Plenty to talk about from the weekend, but I guess we'll work backwards in a little, to a little degree, given the final preparations this morning at Churchill Downs. From here, good thing the final preparations weren't here, dodging raindrops, torrential rain earlier this evening, last evening into the morning hours, so much so that the tunnel from the backside to the front side was flooded, which they don't see all that often. So the rain that was anticipated here absolutely came, and for now, a wet sealed track, only the hardiest of workout types are out there, specifically Shug McGahey and Christophe Clement. In fact, didn't that come up, that came up the other day about working in wet weather? Shug, he'll send his horses out under the wet conditions. And, of course, with the three-day racing festival, two-thirds of it set now, with cards drawn Saturday and Sunday, a lot of cases, several horses making, you know, whatever they can of the conditions. Should be okay through the rest of the weekday portion of Belmont Stakes Week. There is now a little concern about Saturday. We will not deal with that until we're a little closer. Meanwhile, at Churchill, where it was perfect, here was Justify at 7:30. And Baffert on hand, making his way to New York. He'll be here tomorrow for the draw and to throw out the first pitch at Citi Field for the Orioles-Mets game. And the draw, 5:30. You can see it on the NYRA websites. BelmontStakes.com is the micro site, of course, and NYRA.com as well. But Baffert on hand as the training period, the two-plus weeks, at Churchill concluded for both Justify and Restoring Hope. And if you tuned in for Justify, you got two for the price of one, because Restoring Hope worked afterward. Last week, Restoring Hope had worked earlier in the morning, and then Justify during the feature period. In this case, they worked in succession. When it came to Justify, I put up a tweet that tells exactly the story that probably will decide how Saturday unfolds and concludes. And obviously Justify didn't need to do too much for a final work, but what he did do was go in as close to 12-second and change quarters as Garcia could met out. And to lay them out, he started a little bit slowly into the work, 12-4 for the opening eighth, then 12 flat for a 24-4, 12-1, 37 flat, 11-4, a quick middle portion off the turn, and 48-4 for the half mile, and then 12-3 for the fifth eighth for a 101-2 work. Another 12-1 fifth during a gallop out, basically with Garcia never asking, never doing anything, all on Justify's own, out 113-3, and then 13-3 for a 7-furlong double gallop out, and then he went even a little further beyond the double gallop out as he slowed down and just absolutely as comfortable as can be. And without having seen Baffert comments yet. That was at 7:45, and I was setting up shop here. In fact, I moved the shop from outside the track apron to just inside the glass because it is cold and windy and nasty, considering that it's June 4th and it's 50 degrees. I with a week of broadcasting going on here, I wasn't going to put the throat and voice to the whip early. So we're right inside, tucked in nicely, and you may hear some noise in the background here, the clubhouse section they set up into kind of a dining room for Belmont Stakes Day. So there may be tables being moved in and out, but the performance by Justify very much showing what Baffert and Mike Smith are hoping to do with Justify on Saturday. And that is to gallop along, make a Belmont-appropriate move and finish well, ideally ahead of the rest of the field, which looks to be a group of 10 others. Doesn't look after the weekend like Bandua, the Calumet Dermot Weld potential participant. Looks like he is looking at other activities. He's being termed as very doubtful. So that was as of yesterday. So it looks like 10 will line up to face Justify on Saturday. And should he vanquish those 10, it'll be the first time that a Triple Crown winner has faced more than eight and succeeded. That has been a sidebar to some of the times the Triple Crown attempts were stopped. And that storyline certainly being part of the names and numbers portion of handicapping and the interesting portions of racing history when it comes to an attempt like this. But from every indication, and we'll watch for some more, and we'll have Baffert, of course, in New York, as I said, tomorrow. Both of his runners will walk and then get in whatever light work before leaving on Wednesday, and they will be seen here on the track Thursday and Friday, and that will be it. Baffert puts up his horses with the Terranovas, with John and Tanya Terranova, and undoubtedly, I would have to imagine that American Pharaoh's stall will be employed for Justify. Listen, I'm wearing the same suit, so I can only imagine that Baffert's going to put Justify in the same stall. if I'm going to be that superstitious, you can only imagine how the horse side of things may work. So, very, very, frankly, very encouraging and exciting as we look to Saturday. And the other members of this field will touch on what they did over the weekend, of course, and that included Free Drop Billy yesterday. And if you haven't seen that work, this was even better than the one days before that had stamped him a participant. And I thought Free Drop Billy looked even that much better in his work yesterday. You also, of course, up at Saratoga, Hofburg continues to prepare, and in most quarters being seen as the biggest potential interloper in a Triple Crown try. Tenfold as well yesterday as Justify Gallop. Tenfold worked. Not a lot really to be done with him either, coming out of Preakness and the excellent performance there. Asmussen rarely asks for, for speed from his workers in this kind of a setting. So pretty much everybody got final works in. The one that we're going to have to maybe get some clarification, Gronkowski also got his final move and looked very good again. And he seems well prepared for whatever he is going to turn in terms of an effort. I think he's a bit of an unknown quantity, but he certainly seems to be getting over this surface well. The work that has caused some consternation, and wouldn't mind actually talking to Doug O'Neill, who had a tremendous day yesterday, three wins yesterday, including the stake, one of the two stakes at Santa Anita, but a couple of nice maiden wins for O'Neill and the Mallaire as well. But don't know if those wins offset what was a really unusual work when it came to Blended Citizen, who had been moving toward his start off the Peter Pan win, looking as as good as a horse could. And then he was supposed to work, O'Neill had suggested, a mile, and then he worked okay, but he pulled up very quickly. And the outrider was actually waiting for him, seemingly to keep him from doing more. So that was the one quizzical portion of the morning came with a Blended Citizen. So other than that, I think everybody in good stead. To give you another glance, if you haven't been tracking into the week, the way this field appears currently, Blended Citizen, Kyle Fry, with his first try in a classic race, Bravazo, Luis Saez, of course, back, Free Drop Billy, Robbie Alvarado, Gronkowski, Jose Ortiz, Hofberg with Errat Ortiz Jr., Noble Indy, Javier Castellano. We'll get to some interesting hijinks from Castellano as part of Saturday's Pennine Ridge, one of the craziest rallies that you're going to see from a horse in terms of Catholic Boy gathering himself and catching Analyze It. Noble Indy, Castellano, Restoring Hope. Florent Giroux ended up with the mount. Seahenge, Ryan Moore, and over the weekend, quite a few European imports that are participating, particularly when you look at the Gold Cup, the two-mile race. Tenfold, Ricardo Santana Jr., Johnny V on Vino Rosso, and Mike Smith on Justify. So there it is, your field of 11 for Belmont Stakes. We'll turn away from Belmont for a little bit, and usually on this Monday, even with a Triple Crown try in the offing, we always have to get through the weekend, and we'll talk about some far-flung action, and one of the most important matchups and performances of the weekend came in Santa Anita, of course, the Boulder Mile, and Jerry Hollendorfer will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about Unique Bella's performance and her win. Unique Bella, absolutely terrific outside of Paradise Woods. And all you have to do is see how Paradise Woods finished and where she finished to understand what Unique Bella did to her. Beaten 7-8 lengths and left in the wake. And when you hear Richard Mandela say that he'll be finding other assignments for Paradise Woods that don't involve Unique Bella, that mare is something, he said. So we'll talk to Jerry Hollendorfer. He's talking about the Clement Hirsch at the beginning of the summer and maybe a trip to Saratoga for the personal ensign as the agenda. And it seems very clear at this point that Don Alberto and Hollendorfer are squarely aiming Unique Bella for the distaff as opposed to a filly and mare sprint tribe. There had been some speculation about what direction she might go, but Unique Bella with a second grade one. Notably, by the way, she became a millionaire and she joined two other horses over the weekend that became seven-figure earners, long on value, past the threshold in the Mighty Bow. That race got torn up a little bit, and long on value with Giroux, Brad Cox, and Pink Lloyd yesterday, a million Canadian earnings, $1 million. Pink Lloyd now, what, 11 straight? For Robert Tiller. And considering it was a four-horse field, you know what they say, small field, big trouble. Well, a little adventurous, actually, for Pink Lloyd, but he powers on and wins the achievement second year in a row. Haven't seen a fig. Speaking of Woodbine, Saturday. This wasn't a millionaire breakthrough, but good to see Proctor, the great one. Proctor and Gary Boulanger with Craig Burnick, Glen Hill Farms, Caribou Club. They won the Connaught. We'll catch up. Got to reach out to Jonathan. I haven't reached out to Jonathan yet. I mentioned the Churchill weekend. We got to go over the partial distribution. They poured a nice, what, $1.3 million in? And it was challenging, boy. It was not easy. $90,000 for those that got through it. And there's still another pot to focus on that'll keep building. Chief Cicatrix, by the way. And we're going to talk to Sean Davis. Just heard from him. What a great performance by him. A 101 buyer. 101. 110! Let's take a quick break. Lots of other stuff to talk about. Jimmy Toner's going to join us. Talk about Hawkish's win in the Penn Mile. We'll go through that action and more. We're live at Belmont. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. The timing wasn't great, but Pat Pope just wandered through, and maybe I did mention, or maybe Granick, I guess maybe we didn't. But Pat Pope has signed on with Martin Panza. And, of course, Pope, well-known at the years at Delaware and Oaklawn, gave up Delaware a couple of years ago and was doing things, was doing the racing office thing at Prairie Meadows, but is going to handle Belmont only, just the Belmont portion of the racing in New York. Will not handle Saratoga, or of course the winter. In the winter, he'll be obviously back at Oaklawn. So Pat Pope, and he's been. I see him. I saw him all weekend. You know, pressing the flesh and introducing himself to, you know, some people. I mean, obviously a lot of people from the East Coast know him from you know, the period at Delaware, but he just came by and occurred to me to mention that. Back to the action, and referred to Hawkish, and we'll talk to Jimmy Toner in the next half hour. Toner, who you know is over the years one of my absolute favorites, and it's an amazing scenario for a horseman, and particularly for Jimmy, because he has the what has to be just an amazing pleasure and good fortune to keep training horses that came out of Darby Dan and the Phillips family, and even in this case with Hawkish, who, you know, isn't under the banner of the Phillipses and Darby Dan, but is from a mare that's, you know, out of the Fountainhead with Bridal Memories. She was unraced, Bridal Memories. So whenever you see the silver and the memories, and it's amazing. And Jimmy, this is obviously, you know, a colt, but you know, most often, you know, the fillies are the, you know, that philosophy of keeping the fillies and moving the males. And Hawkish, who's a gelding and is going to be around a long time, I said colt, but gelding, and he'll be around forever under Jimmy's care. But Bridal Memories, the AJ Sweethead breeding, and they have got Bob LaPenta partnered up, and it was a perfect storm for LaPenta over a short period Saturday between Catholic boys' performance and Hawkish, you know, going to the Penn Mile. And so I think, based on what Jonathan Thomas had to say, and we'll talk to Jonathan later in the second hour, it sure felt like they were going to separate the horses, obviously, and a little bit more money and a grade two in the Penn Mile. So they get both, as it turns out. The Pennine Ridge goes to Catholic Boy, and Hawkish wins, and wins explosively. I mean, you could see there was a point where Manny Franco just had to let him run. And he just inhaled Maraud and whoever else was out in front of him and powered off. Impressive performance. So he also won, I thought, Hawkish. You know, he had gone a mile and, a 16th in the Palm Beach, but he finished this race. If there was concerns, and we'll get Jimmy to answer this, about his ability to go the mile and a quarter for the Belmont Derby, he certainly yesterday looked like the added ground will be okay. I guess the question is, how long could you hold him the way Franco had to hold him? And, you know, Arad Ortiz and Jose had ridden him previously. So we'll ask Jimmy. Let him address that question. We did get, you know, if you read the handicapping approach, the maneuver with George Weaver. And George Weaver, with way early, and, you know, I didn't think he could win, but it sure felt like he was the right price play in terms of trying to, you know, get in behind either Maraud or Hawkish. And that played out because he got a great ride from Kendrick Carmouche to win the photo with Colton Mississippi. But what really was appealing with George Weaver, and George Weaver does just a tremendous job, but second off the layoff, first Lasix. And I pulled it up on Formulator, and nine occasions, two wins, seven times in the money. And that was enough. That was enough for me. And way early, 21-1, three lengths behind the winner, Hawkish. So we'll talk to Jimmy in a little bit. That sequence, knock on wood, things ended up okay weather-wise at Penn, and it looked like they had a nice crowd and a nice day. The open stakes, we'll look at those first, and Morticia, Jose Lascano, 4-5, and she won well. Rocky Policy for Dale Capuano and Forrest Boyce at a big price second. And at 3-2, Just Talkin', and you know, those were the Just Talkin' and Morticia were the only real win candidates. But Rocky Policy, ridden very similar to the way early hit the board, and Rocky Policy up late and gets second in that ladies dash. And this was the first running, and it's part of the whole team was there. Alan Foreman and Tom Lamera, Brian Sanfratello, they had everybody there that is helping make this match series go. Speaking of going, how about Got Stormy for Cassie and Gary Barber? That came in the Oaks and the Penn Oaks, and this was a good race and a good performance. Manages to basically hold off The Way I Am, the Grand Motion filly. But Got Stormy, the two of them went faster than the boys an hour later in the Penn Oaks. That was a nice performance. This is a Got Stormy is a Get Stormy filly. She was a Timonium purchase that Gary Barber picked off after seeing this filly run a couple of times over the winter. Lisa Lewis had her at that time, and this has happened to be a filly bred by Brian Burns, our friend Brian Burns, Mount Joy Stables. And then there was Oak Bluffs, and that was a nice performance. Paco Lopez, and here again, the price horse we were trying to work through was Dubini for Kate DeMasi, and we kind of got what we were hoping for there. And Oak Bluffs ended up getting almost bet down to favoritism, actually. Raised Warrior. Yeah, this the story here, of course, was Pure Sensation scratching. And I'm going to assume is going to turn up in the Jaipur with his stablemate. But Oak Bluffs, Mary Epler. What a job she does. Mary Epler. Amazing. She was sick last week. We couldn't talk to her after she got the win with Paige McKenney. So maybe we can catch up. And before we wrap up the Penn National weekend, let's mention the three Pennsylvania bred stakes. Anthony Margata Jr. for 2W Stables with Bronx Beauty at a square price, too. Paid $14.40 in the new start. This was the three-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies. Won well, wire to wire, under Johnny V. You had Imply, an E Dubai mare, win the Lafarge. This was Bernie Houghton and owner Barlar LLC. This is a homebred, a five-year-old mare out of an Orientate mare. And then Smooth B, and that was for Butchie Reed for LC Racing, and a win over, sorry to say this, I'm happy for Butchie, but John Service and Will Schwartz with Midnight Poker. And Smooth B was pretty well clear. The disappointment here, I mean, they actually, boy, you had six horses. You had six horses within about $3 of each other. The wagering public a little mystified by this race, and Smooth B paid $13.40. So that was a very nice, that we said that we thought it might have been as nice a card as anybody's ever seen at Penn National, and they got rewarded with the weather not interfering and those terrific four turf stakes. So there we go. Let's take a break. We'll talk more about it with Jimmy Toner in about 20 minutes. We'll take the bottom of the hour break here. It's very quiet today with this overnight storms that swamped the main track. We'll talk to Jerry Hollendorfer about Unique Bella. And he can gush about the big filly when we come back. Stay with us.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Eddie O's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
My baby, don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. True little baby, my baby.
We're back at the races.
Babe, I know she'd love me, my babe.
Jerry Hollendorfer,
well, yes,
will talk about his babe. Join us to talk about the performance by Yannick Bella as soon as I know. Casey and I writing back and forth on Messenger, and there's certain names or abbreviations that when we tried to tell each other, the message, the autocorrect, and we know who we're talking about each time, but it's still annoying, and so you keep trying to correct it, and it keeps changing it, and it keeps changing it wrong. It's a little annoying, right? Yannick Bella, I'm anxious to hear from Hollendorfer, because she, there's been the circumstances. You can't be disappointed ever. I mean, not in a horse like this. I was there for the Apple Blossom, and the break went awry, and then was put into a difficult circumstance. Speaking of which, too, I haven't talked about it yet, but yesterday here in New York, Taprit came back, hadn't been seen since the Travers, and actually ran a terrific race. Got beat by Timeline, but ran very well, and it was the same. It's that same kind of situation. In this case, Yannick Bella actually first turn, she was well wide, and then just applied steady pressure, and really just ran Paradise Woods into submission, and powered home under Mike Smith for her second Grade One win. Jerry Hollendorfer joins us. Jerry, for you and Don Alberto and the whole team, congratulations.
Congratulations, yes, to Don Alberto.
Absolutely. And you've got something to do with it.
All right. Well, we're very grateful to be involved with this filly.
Hey, Jerry, when you've got a horse that is this good, and, she's had two probably frustrating missteps, obviously the Breeders' Cup sprint circumstance at Del Mar, and then the poor start at Oaklawn. What do you do as a trainer of a horse like this to try to mitigate those kinds of things from occurring?
Well, you know, every trainer has problems, and the good horses have problems also. So what you do is you just try to figure out what your problem is and try to use a common sense approach and solve the problem. You know, the race in Arkansas, you know, we just didn't get away from the gate well. And matter of fact, our filly was almost all the way flat on her belly when they sprung it. So, you know, we're not making excuses, but, you know, we're just saying this is what happened. What we did was we stood her in the gate at Santa Anita a few times, and then I worked her out of the gate, and then we stood her some more before her race, and then she broke well on Saturday. So, you know, we solved our problem by just doing just regular things that you do with horses.
She certainly got what looked to be a very comfortable position, and it was basically applying pressure without even asking all that much against Paradise Woods. Take us around and you know what you and Mike had looked for in terms of the trip. You know, you did have the advantage of drawing outside, you know, any other potential pace setters.
Well, you know, I just talked a little bit with Mike, you know, the race before. He wasn't riding, so we got together and talked a little bit about the race. And we just decided that Mike would break out of the gate and get going. And if others on the inside wanted to go head and head, or if somebody wanted to get out there and try to slow the pace down, then we would be prepared for any of those eventualities. So we broke well, and then our horse took Mike up beside Paradise Woods, and Mike sat there until he felt like he was going to have a good time to go, and he went, and it worked out well.
Absolutely, and it does feel like, you know, with added maturity and, you know, as she gets into the second half of now her four-year-old year, and especially with you looking at races like the Clement Hirsch and maybe the Personal Ensign and, of course, the Distaff, it's important that she relax and be able to sit and wait for her cue.
Well, you know, Mike is good in those kind of races. And like all good riders, you know, he might make a mistake once in a while, but he'll never make that mistake two times. You know, he'll never make that mistake two times in a row, or even two times. So, you know, I'm happy to have him riding her. I try to ride him on a lot of horses that we think have potential, and he's ridden a lot of good horses for us. So we have a big confidence in Mike Smith.
Well, and appropriately, and of course, that confidence extends to Bob Baffert, who's going to send him out for a Triple Crown try here in New York on Saturday. And Jerry, one thing that I thought was important to note, you know, that you specifically talked about routes with the filly. Anybody that had thought there was a chance that you would keep her pointing toward shorter distances, that seems to be not part of the plan going forward.
No, we think that Unique Bell can do anything, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if she could run a mile and a quarter. Wouldn't surprise me at all. So you know, we're going to continue. I don't think we'll be running her back short if she continues to run well in the route races that we're going to run in later on.
Well, this was a terrific performance, and Unique Bella will move toward the summer and a Clement Hirsch try, and then we'd love to see her at Saratoga too, Jerry, and a nice nice way to wind down the Santa Anita season. A couple of other thoughts, Jerry, about things that are coming up and also some performances, and that includes that Basilica that you and I have talked about previous visits.
Yeah, well, you know, we quite like her at this point in time, and, you know, she really ran a very good race when we ran her the other day, so we have high hopes for her. You know, I'm not saying we're going to win a stake with her, but it wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Well, 90, I think a 92 buyer, I looked at it over the weekend, and she's absolutely knocking on the door.
Right, so she continues to improve, and she's, you know, she's got, you know, we quite like her because she has nice, good size, and she carries a lot of weight, and we're very pleased with the way that she takes her training. So we think she has a potential.
Well, a couple of horses to ask you about that might have some potential. Tell us about Leslie Song, looking for a maiden breaker coming up later this week at Santa Anita.
Well, you know, I guess going 5 furlongs, the one post isn't so bad, but, you know, she'll have to break good and get on her way. I'm sure there are other decent horses in there, and, you know, it's hard to judge how they're going to run. First time out, Unique Bella was beaten her first time out, so that can prove that point. But anyway, we're happy to have Leslie Song in, and we hope she runs well.
She's an Unbridled Song, and or out of an Unbridled Song mare, Provocative. That interesting to look at that group, and I also wanted to check in. There was oh, where are you? Where do you stand with is Kanthaka coming for the Woody?
He is.
Oh, good, good. All right, Kanthaka then for the Woody Stevens, and
yeah, you know that's not an easy race, and you know, but we thought that we would like to try our horse in that race. We thought that he deserved that chance, and you know, it's the distance that he seems like he really likes, that distance. So we wanted to try that. I think Asmussen is sitting on a pretty tough colt in that race.
You know, he's, I don't know if Mitol is 100% to run.
I don't know. I hear that he is going to run. I shouldn't say that, but because I don't know what Steve's business is, and I certainly wouldn't ever get into it. But you know, I think he has a pretty good chance of running.
Well, and of course, we saw him 2 weeks ago in Baltimore on the wet track, and that is that field has come up pretty nice. Phil Bauer's got that nice Madison's Luna, and Strike Power from Mark Hennig pointed there, of course. Jason Service, World of Trouble. Chad Brown's got Engage, who's been working with Gronkowski. Give Me a Minute for Dallas Stewart, and the $400,000 Grade 2. Jerry, are we going to see you? You going to come? You coming into New York for the weekend?
You know, Deanne Ward wanted to go with this horse, and was a little disappointed that he didn't get to go back to the Derby with it in Stowed Regard. So he wanted to go, so we're sending Dan.
Nice.
And we'll be in Shug's barn, which he always treats us very nicely. And like I say, you know, we wanted to give our colt a chance, so we'll have all of our bases covered, and I'll be at Santa Anita running horses there.
Outstanding. Well, Kanthaka coming out of that Laz Barrera win, and you mentioned Instilled Regard, and basically taking just a little time. Is there any, is it a diagnostic issue or just getting a freshening?
No, he's freshening up right now.
Excellent. Well, Jerry, always great to connect. The filly is absolutely thrilling to watch, and Unique Bella continues her campaign, and look forward to seeing her at Del Mar, Saratoga, and beyond. Continued success. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jerry Hollendorfer, and catching up on a few of the players. So just one this weekend that he's sending in. And his longtime assistant, Dan Warren. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Jimmy Toner. And Jimmy basically kept them all, I think, around the shed row today. Usually Toner will come over and bring his sets to the main track. But the weather keeping him, I think, in the barn. So we'll talk to – I was hoping we could get Jimmy live. But he'll be live. He'll just be on the phone. Johnny D follows Jimmy Toner, and we got Jonathan Thomas that's going to visit. Sean Davis, I mentioned the Chief Chickatrice, and, you know, Marty McGee really told you what you needed to know on Friday when it came to Sean Davis and that group in the Aristides. I thought Marty was pretty frank about Chief Cicatrice coming in and the way he thought Sean Davis was coming to Kentucky with real intent. And not only did he come in with intent, he left with a gaudy 110 buyer winning the Aristides. And James Graham, on board there. James Graham very quietly wins his... He wins his share. Thought of mostly, more for turf, but James Graham does a good job. Let's take a break. Jimmy Toner next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Talking away. I don't know what's left to say. I'm
Well, needless to say, Jimmy Toner, who we asked the other day, what was the decision? What did it look like? Penine Ridge, and it, at the time, hadn't made the dot connection between the Bob LaPenta portion of the story. And so splitting courses up, Catholic boy staying here in New York and competing in the Penine Ridge, and Jimmy heading out to beautiful Grantsville, Pennsylvania. And the decision ends up paying handsomely on both ends, because LaPenta horses win both of the three-year-old stakes, the Penn Mile for Jimmy and Hawkish, and at the grass course in front of me, Catholic boy. Jimmy, congratulations.
Thank you.
That worked out just beautifully, and you had to be sweating like everybody, you know, potential for lousy weather. That stayed away. And then it was just a matter of Manny Franco holding on until he couldn't hold Hawkish anymore.
Right. Well, fortunately, everything worked out right. They made the right call, the right decision to split the horses up. And, you know, two exciting races. I think the race here was the Catholic boy won a huge race. And fortunately, Hawkers got the job done and did what he was supposed to do. So evidently, they must know what they're doing. So it worked out good for everybody.
Well, how often you've gone out there before? No?
No.
The first time there?
No. Too far.
Well, this is only, I think, the sixth running of this race, but it was a lot of money and a grade two. I mean, it was well worth the trip.
Well, the people, Justin Nicholson and the AJ Suda group, they all made it out there. They had a great time, chilled to death naturally, and actually, I had one of the mamas, so I went to mamas, a shorter. And then I sent my assistant, Emma, to Penn, and she went up there and did a very good, capable job of keeping everything together and getting everything done right. So it all worked out good for everybody.
Well, let's talk about the development of Hawkish. And one of the things that is really a fun sidebar, yes, you and I so often we're talking about the Darby Dan and the Phillips family mares, and in this case, people might at a glance think, oh, it's different. It's a different group. No, it's not. It's it happens to be out of the unraced bridal memories. And it's amazing, Jimmy, how generous these female lines have been for you.
They've carried me for a long time to say that. But I'll tell you, anything that I get out of those families, it's been, you know, my good fortune to be able to have them. And in fact, Justin went out specifically to buy this mare just so we could get into that memories silver line. So, but we've been, you know, like I said, very fortunate. I've been very fortunate that Memories of Silver went to Memories of Quash, and now this horse is out of a half sister to Memories of Silver. So it's been incredible. She is out of, yeah, half sister to Memories of Silver. So, but it's such a dominant family. I mean, these, you know, John's been Phillips with these families, these Galbraith families that go back generations, and it carries and it's still carrying today.
It did. Now, this was an unraced, unbridled mare. Did you ever see her? Did you ever get your hands on her?
No. So I don't know where she was or who had her or if she ever, you know, attempt to race or not. I don't know anything about her. No, I don't know anything about her. And but fortunately, I think you know, Justin, you know, he follows these bloodlines of everything, and then he saw an opportunity to reach in and buy her, and he did. And the rest is history. So I'm glad he stays up with everything. So it's that's you can credit him for that.
Well, and there's an interesting sidebar to this too, because Glen Hill Farm, Craig Burnick, had his hands on the mare and put her through the ring, and she was sold carrying Hawkish.
Yes, Greg wanted to get, I think, from what I understand, a kitten's joy. I don't know, was it Colt or a filly that she had? So he bought her.
Yes, yes,
joy,
you're right.
I understand. Then he brought her back to Artie Schiller and sold her. Yes.
So he only bought her to get the kitten's joy, to get yes, whatever she was yes, carrying.
Yes.
How funny.
Yeah. And Justin picked up on it, and he jumped right on it.
Unbelievable. Well, hawkish, the question now, Jimmy, why, you know, looking at this record, 3-for-4, and you know, the equation certainly, you know, we're looking toward the Belmont Derby, and this particular race, I mean, if you were concerned after the Palm Beach that, you know, that well beyond a mile might be an issue, it is certainly not the case based on what we saw Saturday.
Well, I never felt like the distance would be an issue, truthfully, because I think he's, you know, he's got unbridled on the bottom, and there's been enough horses out of that family that would be able to go along. So I'm not concerned it's not an issue with me, but I wouldn't be as concerned about the distance as, you know, that you would think. I think he's capable because of the distance.
Well, the mile and a quarter is the opportunity, the grade one, you know, between now and then, some stamina building work?
No, he's got it in him. I mean, it's there. I think a lot of those things with stamina, they're built into them. I mean, they're, once they get conditioned, heart-wise, lung-wise, and things like that, it's either there or it isn't. I don't think it changes anything as far as the training's concerned. And but I think, you know, if we're going to find out anything, at least we'll find out for $1 million. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, we always can drop back after that and go in a different direction. But I feel confident enough that we'll be able to, you know, be competitive in that race.
And speaking of that race and its positioning mid-year, how has the presence of the Belmont Oaks and Belmont Derby, since, you know, the very clever inception of it, how has it changed what you do as a trainer and somebody who's particularly, you know, particularly good with horses like these for those kinds of targets? How has it changed your approach with the 3-year-olds?
Well, I don't think it changes your approach. The horse has to get there. If you're not, the horse takes you there. I mean, if the horses, you're going through a process when they're running in places that they're running in, they prove that they're capable enough to getting into that spot. So it's not like you have a horse and you just train them to run in the Derby. You're not going to the Derby or to the Oaks with just your average everyday horse. You've got to have a good horse to get in those races. And they've had to go through the process of winning stake races and, you know, following races that to make them eligible or makes them capable of getting in there. But you're not just going to train any horse to run in there. It's like they're building up. They start out with like Time and Motion started out in the Winter Memories, not the Winter Memories, the Memories of Silver, then the Wonder again. So it built up a process. So you have to go through the process. She didn't win one of them, or if she wasn't second in one of them, they wouldn't be running in those races. They have to take themselves there. So the horses take you there. Well, you don't take them there.
And when you have a 3-year-old, when you know you're looking toward the rest of the year's goals, I suppose it's a great barometer at that time to know if you're going to, you know, look to things, you know, like a filly and mare turf or the mile, or, you know, the mile and a half turf. I mean, that those kinds of decisions with 3-year-olds, if you get a little bit of a referendum mid-year.
Well, I think right now when you're looking at $1 million race, I mean, that's your first focus. And then, you know, after that point, then you'll see how good you are. And if you can take lay out a program after that to see what you want to do, how far you want to go. You go to Chicago for the Secretariat, or you know, with the Phillies, you do the Saratoga route. So, I mean, I think right now, initially at this stage, is the primary objective is the Derby, or a filly is the Oaks, and then you go from there. From that point on, you'll know what direction you're going in. because that the focus right now is the Derby.
Yeah, and rightly so. And it's fun, you know. It's fun, obviously, to have a good 3-year-old, whether it's a whether it's male or female. Let's look ahead a little bit to what's coming up this week, because it's going to be a terrific 3 days of racing. We've already got two of the cards drawn. Tomorrow they'll draw the Saturday action, and that includes, if I'm not mistaken, Manitoulin. In the Manhattan?
Yes, correct. Yeah, it goes in the Manhattan.
And of course, this is the second go round with a Manitoulin. as we've discussed, the fact that the name gets to be used again by the team in this case, and that's going to be a. I tell you, the Manhattan came up great, Jimmy.
Oh, it's a tough race, that's for sure. But that was our goal. I mean, we started out, it's one of those things where you're going to be 3.5 lengths and you finish sixth. I guess if you finish third, you're going to be 3.5 lengths. You're all excited and everything's good. So he ran his race. It was a little short for him to run in, but his first race back off a layoff. So we were, satisfied with the race, and he'll improve off of it. But, naturally the competition has improved, at the same time. So we'll see how it all works out.
Well, in addition, you're involved in both days coming into Saturday and the Manhattan. A couple of maidens Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
Give us a little hint about how close you've got Honored Promise. Let's start there for Thursday.
Well, I'm still in the process of trying to figure out what's the best way for her. I ran a short at Aqueduct when we came back. She ran well. She finished second on 6 furlongs. I figured, well, that's where she would belong. And I did bring her back here at Belmont to run 6 furlongs again. And sort of like disappointed in that she was like a mid-pack all the way. I mean, she ran even. And I thought she'd be closer up to the pace. But then when I saw the time of 107 and change, I said, oh, I guess that's why she wasn't on pace. So then actually her two full sisters, Recepta and Defiant Honor, both top good milers. So I, let's go back, let's go to the mile and see what where we're at with her. So that's basically we're still at a learning stage with her. So hopefully the mile catches her and we'll be able to go from there.
Well, and you mentioned the two sisters, and there was also the baby brother going back, the first foal ever out of her, and Wings of Grace and our Honor Bestowed, and Takarub,
right,
who I remember being a nice little sprinter.
Yeah, so like I said, usually that family has to go back that way, yeah, but I think a mile is the best distance. So that's why we're trying her at it.
Now, Honor Bestowed, Soaring Softly sister, yes?
Yes, correct. She's a half sister to Sorry Softly. Yes.
Here we go again. It's a unique circumstance that you get to enjoy. And let's talk about Friday as well. You're in the, I think you're in the last on Friday.
Yeah, Hampton Point. He's a call. I ran a golf stream and he finished very well. And we decided to just give a little break after that and send him to the farm, and we did, and freshen him up. And I've got him up. He's been training very well. And it's one of those things where he wants to run all day. I probably wouldn't run that far the first time off a layoff. But my options are sort of limited. If I ran him shorter, it would be just getting one into him and setting him up for the next one, which would be another month from now or something. So I thought, just go ahead and run him. So that's the deal there. But he's a capable colt, and he'll run all day. So let's get started. So, and that's what we're doing.
Very nice. Well, it's a mile and 3/8 to close out Friday afternoon.
Right.
Hampton Point for Magic Cap. This is an LDK, a Lemon Drop Kid,
yes,
out of a Maria's Mond mare, bred by Peter Blum. Very nice. Jimmy,
yes,
the sun's coming out, so this racetrack should dry. We may get a little bit more rain.
What's a day without rain?
It's unbelievable. World's worst spring.
Right.
We'll live with it. And
I'm
you
sure
dodged
with all the turf trainers here are all both pulling their hair out every day
well,
it rains.
In the meantime, you managed to get $500,000 grade two in,
right?
Though. So you
I didn't even have to go.
You're the leader in the clubhouse.
Right.
Jimmy Toner, always a pleasure. I'll see you this week.
Very good, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Always okay. Fun. Right. Jimmy Toner, who we just we think the world of. And isn't it, it's amazing. I mean, here, every not every, but so often you just look and it's, you know, it's one Phillips family, Darby Dan, Galbraith family after another that come Jimmy's way. And he keeps, you know, he keeps churning them out. I mean, that's the key portion of this. I mean, he's the one who's made them into winners and into the type of mares you keep and you produce. And in fact, even this horse, it might take a little bit of time for Hampton Point. You know, ran once at Gulfstream, as Jimmy pointed out, but that family, as it happens, you know, speaking of families, this is a little different. The mare was a modest horse herself, Mon Bell. And if that rings a bell, literally, it's because she's the full sister of Monarcos. Yeah, Maria's Mon and Mon Bell produced Monarcos as well as the dam of Hampton Point. Let's take a break. Top of the hour past us, and we are going to check in with Johnny D. We'll get Johnny's thoughts here days away from the most recent attempt at a Triple Crown. And it feels very different, as we've been saying. It having had one, you know, for the first time in decades when American Pharoah accomplished it, it feels like, you know, the public, you know, and horse people feel like, you know, people that are around the game, it's not impossible. We know that. You know, for those that said it'll never happen again, well, it happened, so it can still happen more. And we'll see what Johnny thinks when he joins us next. Couple of things as we head to the break. Did you watch the Epsom Derby? You had a decent upset, and I don't know if you noticed, I know Scott Hazleton touted the winner, and it was a nice mutual. 30-something, and Massar, who, it's funny, with Paul Matisse, after the race, which kind of he was shaking his head. We were thinking back to the conversation we had after Breeders' Cup. You know, the Breeders' Cup juvenile turf. The hits keep coming. Massar was very good in here, and Saxon Warrior never. There was no point in that race that Saxon Warrior looked like he was going to win. If you were watching him, waiting for him to kind of just never looked like he was a threat. It happens. That happens sometimes. But it's a very big win for Godolphin. Sheikh Mo was beaming, and Charlie Appleby. And, of course, had been disappointed on Friday in the Oaks. But Bill Buick, too. The all-first derbies. Johnny D. Next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Eddie O's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.